Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. I am Ghost Joe. Listen, we have an insane show for you guys tonight. Not just an awesome show, not a great show, not a crappy show. This show is freaking amazing, okay? Not only do we have an awesome interview that Creepy Ken and I had done with paranormal investigator and author Sin Schrader Hill. I mean, this interview, wait till you hear it, guys. I mean, it has everything. Not only does Sin Schrader Hill tell us all about, her work and all these great paranormal things that she's done and is doing and all this great paranormal wisdom that she has to share. Not only was she an awesome, awesome guest, but we even caught EVPs, a whole bunch of them within this interview. And we left them in there for you guys to kind of figure out. So if you figure them out and you hear them and you think you know what it's saying, you know, definitely give us a call at 845-600-0744 or email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com and let us know what you think it says, because we definitely really love to hear it. But if you wanted to, you know, kind of cheat a little bit, we had done a live on YouTube just recently. So you could go check that out on YouTube right now. And we play some of these EVPs up close and personal, some that we isolated it as well. So you're not going to want to miss that. Check that out. And if you do go to the YouTube, definitely please subscribe and like and comment and all that stuff, because it really helps us out. So before we get into this interview with Sin, I'm going to go into a little bite-sized lesson about EVPs, okay? So EVPs, electronic voice phenomenon, have long straddled the line between technological oddity and spiritual revelation. It started in 1959 when filmmaker Frederick Jurgensen, when he captured what sounded like a voice from beyond while recording Birdsong. That single anomaly sparked decades of obsessive investigation, most notably by psychologist Konstantin Rodev, whose work led to over 100,000 documented recordings, fragmented, elusive, and deeply unsettling. From analog reels to today's digital recorders, EVPs have become a pivotal part of paranormal research. Investigators ask questions into empty air and playback chilling responses, words that weren't heard in real time, but appear in the frequencies between silence and sound. These ghostly utterances range from simple phrases to emotional declarations, often echoing the personal or the tragic. So tonight we welcome Sin Schrader Hill, paranormal investigator, author, and expert in capturing the voices that lurk just beyond our reach. We'll hear how she interprets EVPs, what tools she trusts, and the emotional weight carried by voices that shouldn't exist. So a little bit about Sin. She's a native of Fayetteville, Tennessee. She's the founder of Elk Valley Paranormal, a team dedicated to uncovering the voices and stories that linger in haunted spaces across southern Middle Tennessee and northern Alabama. Her fascination with EVPs isn't just technical, it's personal. She spent years investigating locations like the notoriously haunted Old Fayetteville Hospital, where she worked closely with the owner to record EVPs and host investigations. Sin is also a prolific author and storyteller with 5 paranormal-themed books to her name, including Whispers in the Dark, Realms of Shadows, and They're Speaking, Are You Listening?, which is a chilling collection of her most compelling EVP captures. Her writing blends firsthand experience with eerie narrative, offering readers a glimpse into the spectral echoes she's documented. She's traveled to legendary haunted sites like Gettysburg, Alcatraz, the Winchester Mystery House, and even the Tower of London, always with her recorder in hand and an ear turned to the unknown. Whether she's speaking at conventions like GobbleCon or collaborating with fellow investigators, Sin brings a grounded, empathetic approach to paranormal research, one that respects the mystery and honors the message. So let's welcome Sin Schrader Hill to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. Enjoy the interview, everyone.
So tonight we have Sin Schrader Hill. She is the founder of Elk Valley Paranormal, an author. So let's start at the beginning, though. What drew you into the world of the paranormal? And was there a personal experience that sparked it? Or
I was always a weird kid. Always. I'm still a weird kid at 61. So there's that. I always wanted to go to scary places. And Halloween just wasn't long enough when I was growing up. You know, it was only one day a year. And now you can go to Halloween stores year round. And, you know, there's haunted everything. But growing up in the Bible Belt, we didn't talk about it. If you had anything that happened to you, you didn't talk about it. I had heard funny stories about my great uncle, and he was such a scaredy cat that was actually my bedtime story. He was always thinking that things were after him, like a monster and a ghost that actually turned out being an old gray horse that was chasing him. So, I mean, he was just a funny guy. And those stories usually ended with my grandmother saying, "Boo, now go to bed." And so that was when I was little. And it wasn't until 2013, I actually joined a group and had no idea I was sensitive at all. Like I said, I've always been a weird kid. I had panic attacks really bad starting at the age of 10 and just thought the worst. Like at 10 years old, I was thinking, I've got a tumor. I'm dying. I was always right. A serious kid and everything was always right. The worst. So fast forward to 2013 and the group that I'm with, one of the founders actually said, "You're sensitive." What does that mean?
Joe, you don't call him any names. He gets sensitive.
Really? See?
No, not me. Not me.
He should have told me that before this started.
No. I'm good. I have tough skin. I'm a correction officer. I got tough skin. You can say a lot to me.
You got to have tough skin then.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I think it's kind of a prerequisite to be a little bit weird to be into this kind of stuff. You know, I also feel like there's kind of a connection if you're artistic as well. Like artistic, like I'm a musician, so it kind of, you know, artist or you know, music and some kind of art. You know, if you're good at writing or if you have a vivid imagination, I feel like that's kind of like a prerequisite to really being into the paranormal and to to really get into it, you know, as much as we have. So
agreed.
I think you're right. Yeah. a lot of people don't like just sitting in the dark. Yeah.
Very true.
I think we have better imaginations too, so that's a good thing.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you kind of have to think outside the box a lot. And you know, as much as, you know, me and Ken talk about it a decent amount where, like, you know, you want to be a realist about things. You know, you don't want to be a complete skeptic. You don't want to be a complete believer either. You kind of have to have like a happy medium in there, you know? You know, like, all right, well, I heard this noise coming from upstairs. You know, let's see what it is. It might be a ghost, might not be, you know, could be something else, you know? So, you know, I feel like there's, you know, you have to have kind of a happy medium with that kind of stuff.
I do too.
If I hear a noise upstairs, I tell my wife, I'll send her up there. I'm not going.
Shame on you.
She's tougher than I am.
Bless her heart.
So you founded the Elk Valley Paranormal group. What was the moment that you knew that you needed to be, you know, more than just, did you start out doing like solo investigations or did you just kind of seek out a group or how did that exactly work?
my cousin actually had a group come down from about 1.5 to 2 hours north of me from McMinnville called Ghost. It was Ghost Hunters of Southern Tennessee. And they investigated her art studio because she was having issues, things going on. She would like lock the door or not lock the door and it would be locked. And she'd go back, unlock it. Because maybe she was expecting her husband to come pick her up or something, but she would hear a click, click, and it'd be locked again. So she had somebody come down, and they found out that there was this sweet little old man that was hanging around her place. That area of the square used to be notorious for the rough part of town. It was the side that had a lot of the saloons. And even though there were saloons all the way around, these were the rough saloons. And if a woman was seen on the north side of the square, she had an escort or she was a loose lady. So this little man thought she's by herself. Plus she was pregnant at the time. So he was really protective over her, and he was just a sweet little guy. So I found out after the fact that they had come down, and I was so disheartened because I'd been watching all the shows on TV, and you know, you couldn't get away from them back in the 2000s and up to, you know, 2015 and still.
Right.
And they were just everywhere. And I think I was watching every one of them I could. Even the bad ones, but we'll just skip over that. But so I got the same group to come down and investigate my mom and dad's old store. Dad died in 2001, late September, so after 9/11. And they had actually tried to keep the store going. It was mom and my sister and two girls running an auto parts store in a small town, with O'Reilly's, Advanced, AutoZone, and Walmart all selling auto parts. It just wasn't making it. So they had to close it. And my husband cleaned it out, and it was gutted. So nothing down there. Utilities had been turned off for years. And in 2013, this group came to the store, and I was the trigger object. So I just stood in the dark and asked questions to my dad, hoping to get something. The only place that their instruments lit up in the whole place, and it was a two-story, was exactly where his chair sat for about 30 years. So I thought that was really cool. And they only got two EVPs. One was this weird holy mackerel, which nobody in my family ever used, but it had been several things over the years, like an ice cream factory and a turkey slaughterhouse was in the basement. In the basement, they actually caught turkeys gobbling. So that was the other EVP.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was hooked. So I got to be their case manager. That night, hey, you want to join? Yeah. Yeah, I do. And knowing I wanted my own team, I just didn't know how to do it. I didn't know what to do, how to go about investigating anything about the equipment. Nothing. I was green, completely green. So they taught me everything. And a year later, I founded Elk Valley Paranormal. So EVP, because I was the audio person. EVP for short.
Yeah, that's cool. You live in a great area for ghost activity. Like the Appalachian Trail has some of the craziest stuff that happens there. I know I grew up in Ohio, and Ohio is one of the weirdest states out there. I mean, there is so much stuff in Ohio. And then I moved to Charleston, South Carolina about 6 years ago. And it's really, there's a lot of ghostly stuff down here too. I mean, but I was so used to having, all these different cryptids and crazy things that happen up there. And I come down here and they're like, hey, we got ghosts. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Well, that's kind of a letdown for me because everything else. I mean, I like ghosts, don't get me wrong. It's just like a stark difference, you know, between there and where I'm at here. Because you're right about the the Bible Belt thing. Like, people will talk about that stuff more now than they did. But if you, like, for here, for instance, if you get anywhere outside of ghosts and things like that, people are like, no, that's the devil, man. That's the devil. And I'm like, it's not a devil. It's a Bigfoot, man. But it's honest to goodness, the truth. I mean, it really is.
Mm-hmm. I found out, and when I got involved in this and started writing books, that's when I started going on podcasts and talking, because self-published author, that's the only way you're going to get your name out, really. But that's when I started hearing about all these cryptids. The only thing I'd ever heard about was Bigfoot.
Right.
And or Nessie, you know, everybody's heard of Nessie, but that's really about it. And I found out that I actually live 5 miles from where the Flintville Monster was seen. And the Flintville Monster, have you heard of it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's only 5 miles from here.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
I was like, oh, my. My dad grew up in this town, Flintville, and he talked about the Flintville Light, which I think is a story that you hear a lot of different places about a man's head cut off and he walks the tracks looking for his head, right? So
just like that. Yep.
Yeah. They're all over. And so, you know, we've got a Bigfoot down here that there's a skunk ape in Florida. There's what? Yeti. There's all different names for these things. And then I started hearing about Wampus Cat.
Yep. Wampus Cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spearfinger. Yeah. Have you heard of Spearfinger? It's I think a Cherokee legend. And so, so many.
The lights on the track thing is fascinating because you do hear, it's like Crybaby Bridge as well. Like every place on the face of the, every state in this country has a Crybaby Bridge, multiple of them sometimes.
I think you're right.
My theory on the railroad track thing is it's all the energy that's going through them tracks constantly, or that has accumulated on those tracks over time. As you think about it, they're energized, the train's energized, it's carrying, and I think that it somehow holds energies. And I don't know. That's my theory.
It could very well be. I know the tracks around here are covered over. They're just, you know, they pulled up what they could, but covered over others. And my dad used to say that it had to be a certain kind of night. It had to be just a little bit foggy. A little bit misty, so that lights coming through would maybe go farther or something. Yeah. And the way it bounced off the tracks. So, you know, I don't know if they probably experimented with that using some kind of flashlight or something. Oh, let's try to do the Flintville Light. Let's try to scare somebody. I'm sure that happened several times in different places all over the country. Let's see if we can create this.
Yeah, it's fun. That's part of the thing with the paranormal field for me. It's fun. It makes me feel like a kid again all the time, because you never know what to expect. And, you know, Joe and I talk about it all the time. I hope some of these mysteries are never solved, because that takes away all the fun for me. I want to keep thinking about, you know, making theories and thinking about stuff, and it makes me feel young, you know?
Right. It's like the Masked Magician. Like when the Masked Magician came out, I was telling all these magic tricks. You're like, oh, come on, man. Like, I want it to be magic, you know? Like, I want to believe in magic, you know? It's not right. It's not fun when, you know, of course we know some things might not be what they seem, but, you know, that's the fun part of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned EVPs and stuff like that. You said that that's kind of where you focused everything. Do you have like a recording or like a sound background? Like why that stuff? You just like that stuff? You just like the EVP type stuff?
Yeah, it was the fact that they got the turkeys and the holy mackerel, which to, you know, like I said, nobody in my family ever said that. I was like, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. So when I joined the team, the first thing I brought was a digital recorder. I already had a flashlight. But then the spirit box, the SB7, was the first bigger purchase that I had. And, you know, now that is like one of the cheapest things you can get. And I fell in love with that SB7, though. And it, for some reason, in the beginning, it was easier for me to hear some of those voices coming out of it. And on the investigations, I would stand next to it and tell what I was hearing. I'll never forget this. It was one of the very first cases I went on. And it was about an hour and a half from here. And this woman had said she was worried about her family. Things were happening around the house. She had at one time used Ouija boards and studied dark magic, but she had thrown all that stuff away. So we come in. I have never in my life seen so many crosses, crucifixes, mirrors, and wind chimes inside a house. It was to the point where you just you couldn't really tell what color the wall was. I don't know what color the wall was. It was just covered with this kind of stuff. And
just in case people don't know, our audience, I know, but can you explain the wind chimes in the mirrors?
I didn't know at the time. It's like, you know, we're all learning as we go. So at that point, I had no idea. I just thought it was strange that they were everywhere. I learned later that the wind chimes, once they ring, they lighten up with the vibration. That vibration goes through and lightens the area like a tuning fork. But also, it can scare away negative energy or the lower vibration. The mirrors, it actually kind of shocked me. I had heard about portals and things like that, but what I was told specifically about darker energy is that they like to be, of course, as scary as possible when they show you themselves to you. But they don't want to see themselves.
Who?
They don't want to look at themselves. So put the mirrors up. Wow. And they're not going to come in. That's why a lot of people have a mirror at their front door.
No.
Yep. Yep. Especially down south. A lot of people have mirrors at their front doors.
Yes. And here, they'll point their paint their porches or their doors haint blue.
That's it. Every porch down here in Charleston has haint blue on the ceiling. Haint blue. My wife and I were sitting when we first moved here. We sat at a restaurant and it had a blue ceiling. We were out on the porch and we're like, what the heck is the blue ceiling? So then we went to, because it didn't match anything. And then we went to another restaurant like a week later and there's another blue ceiling. We're like, what the hell's going on with these blue ceilings? So we had somebody in the Geechee and the Gula people that live here that from Africa that were brought over as slaves. That is one of their ways to keep evil spirits away from their houses is to paint the ceilings of the porch paint blue. It's like a watercolor and it's supposed to represent water, and evil spirits supposedly cannot cross water. So that keeps them safe. And it tricks them into thinking that they're, you know, gonna cross water, so they don't even try. Pretty interesting. So you guys have paint blue in Tennessee?
Oh,
too?
Yeah.
I think it's migrated.
I think it's the whole South.
Appalachia, yeah, and South. Yep. Yep, I do too. Yep.
I had never heard the word haint. And a girl from Lynchburg, which is just up the road from us, where I'm in Lincoln County, Tennessee. And that is right on the border of Alabama and Tennessee. And we're 30 miles north of Huntsville. about 80 miles south of Nashville. But Lynchburg, home of Jack Daniels, is just right up the road. And she actually said something about, "You mean you're going on paint infestations?" I said, "What? I'm going to," she says, "I can't go around those haints." I said, "What are you saying? Haint? Never heard it. Never heard that."
I never heard it until I moved down here. Like, you know, explained to you the porch thing. Like, I'm like, "Haint? You sure it ain't haunt or it isn't, you know, something else? Like, what's haint?" But you can literally walk into anywhere that sells paint down here and ask for haint blue. And they're like, "Oh yeah, we'll get that for you." And it's crazy. Like,
What is it like a light blue? I'm a city guy, so I don't. Yeah. It's like a light blue.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a little darker than baby blue.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
It's a pretty color. It's just if you don't know what's going on, you come down south here, you're gonna be like, "Are these people? Have they lost their minds with these porches?
Are they colorblind?"
Yeah, like the building is yellow, and you got a blue porch ceiling. Like, what's going on, man? This is really poor taste. Somebody down here is robbing you guys on your paint jobs, man. Like, but yeah, it's pretty cool. So you have a really, really personal story with that I read in your book, with your nephew, right?
Yeah, my baby.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that, because you, I think that you have a good EVP with that too, don't you?
I do. Would you like to hear that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'll tell you a little bit. Before I actually share the EVP, I've got it saved on everything possible. Every hard drive I have, I've got it on everything. Wyatt was born a year after my dad died. So he was the only grandchild. He was the only child after 5 miscarriages. And he was just special. He was a mini me. He was a ham in front of the cameras. And he was just so freaking fun. He was a musician. Just very, very talented, very talented, and very outgoing. He was bullied when he was little. And when he got a little older, he was telling the bullies, "You can't do that to people. It hurts them." You know, and he would talk to them, and then he'd help the ones that were being bullied. And he was just a good kid. So I made him wait until he was 18. He wanted to be on Aunt Cindy's ghost hunting group. "No, you got to wait. I'm going to make you wait." And when he was 18, I started training him to be my videographer. So he started going on hunts with us. And he would listen to my co-founder, Sean. Sean is my skeptic. He's my debunker. And he was always the one to first say, "If there's anybody here, please get as close as you can to that red dot, talk as loudly as you can, and hopefully we can hear you say whatever to us and say whatever you want to." So Wyatt listened to all that. And that was the year, let's see, in 2020, I actually started writing my fourth book. And it was It's Not Goodbye, Signs from Beyond. And it was really weird because it's like God put that in my lap. And I've been writing ghost stories about investigations and EVPs and just all of this stuff. And then signs, I didn't have enough for a book. I had, my mom had fallen and thought she was dying because she hit her head really hard, but she broke her wrist. And look up to see my grandmother, who had died a year after, it was like 2 months before Wyatt was born. So the year after Dad died as well. And she stood above Mom and shook her head like, "It's not your time." Nobody else saw her, of course. And it took her a few days to tell anybody because South,
yeah,
an 80-year-old, you know, in the South doesn't talk about ghosts. They just don't. And anyway, fast forward a little bit, and I'm trying to write this book. I put out feelers on Facebook about stories and near-death experiences, signs from our loved ones, deathbed conversations where they're talking to somebody in the room that nobody else can see but them. Cardinals, pennies from heaven, feathers, all that kind of stuff. When a special song comes on the radio, smelling their perfume, smelling a certain cigar. It's just all of that kind of stuff that people have stories about, even pets coming back to see us. So I started getting all these stories coming in from all over the country. And I finally had a book. So I started working on it. And April 6th, we lost Nat Wyatt. It was a horrendous motorcycle accident.
Oh, man.
It was immediate. I was just on my way home today. I was actually thinking I need to go by and make sure that his roadside cross is looking okay. I need to, you know, go check it out again. But anyway, so he dies and he starts showing up immediately for his mom. He, right after the funeral, she decided to close his door. And the dog and the cat, she comes back through, and the dog and the cat were looking right by his door that she had shut and turned his lights off. And she thought, that's kind of weird. They're just sitting there, just staring at the door. And then she looked down and his light was back on. So she opened the door and she said, I'm sorry, baby. I'll leave it on for a while. I'll leave it on. And so she left the door open and his light on for a little bit longer. When the electricity bill started coming in, she said, I'm going to have to turn it off for a little while. And it's he would open his door just about every day and turn on his light just about every day. It was incredible how much was going on. Yeah. I came over one night and she said, what do you know about orbs? And I said, mostly what people think are orbs aren't really anything but bugs or dewdrops or raindrops or dust or something like that. And I said, but a real orb has its own light and it goes anywhere it wants to against a breeze, or, you know, it doesn't have to follow a certain pattern. It has its own way that it can go anywhere it wants to. And I said, why are you asking? And she said, I just saw one. And I said, where? And she said, I sat right here and I watched it. And I said, how big was it? Because I've seen a real orb that was like tiny, you know, and all over the old hospital, we call them death lights, and they can be all different colors. But they're little. And she said, it was basketball size.
Wow.
And I said, like, a basketball size? And she said, I swear to you. And I said, what was it doing? And she said, it was just going all over the house, just back and forth, like to and from his room, into the kitchen, around the couch. And I said, what were the animals doing? She said, watching.
Oh, wow.
And I said, how long? She said, it had to be about 20 minutes. I said, you talked to him? You know, that was Wyatt. And she said, I was afraid he'd leave.
Wow.
And I said, okay, I understand. I said, you can talk to him, though. And I think he was wanting you to talk to him. So fast forward to the next year. I've not heard anything from my nephew. Nothing. I'm the one that trained him for my team. And I'm just about every day I'm going, Wyatt, come on now, send me some kind of sign, anything. I don't care. I don't care. So in February of 23, and it was the 23rd, Susan, my sister, had had something happen that was just wild, just wild. The way it happened, you can't say it was any other way but some kind of divine intervention. It was just too much, too many coincidences to be coincidental. So she was telling me the story, and I was taping it on my phone. And it's still any stories about Wyatt, we get teared up and can't help it, you know?
Yeah.
And right. Probably never will get over that. But she was telling me this story. I'm taping it. TV's on, but it's on mute. The dog and the cat are both asleep. And my sister is talking and telling this story. You're going to hear her voice. After she told me the story, I had to wait just a little while to, I'm trying to find it right now. I had to wait just a little bit to transcribe it because it was just too raw. So in April, I think, is when I started transcribing this. 6 minutes and 42 seconds in, I heard Wyatt talk to me. And I froze. And I thought, there's no way. And I rewound it and I listened. It was my baby. And so I went and banged on the door, the bathroom door. My husband had said he was going to go take a shower. And I said, are you in the shower? And he said, no, what's wrong? I said, I need you to just come listen to something. He said, what's wrong? Who's hurt? You know, what's happened? I said, no, nothing. I just need you to sit down and listen to something. And I played it for him. And he looked up and he said, that's Wyatt. That's my baby. And it's, I'll let you see if you can understand what he's saying. You're going to hear my sister talking. You ready?
Yep.
Absolutely.
And Josh said, he said, your son's name was Wyatt, and he drove an El Camino. And I said, yeah. And then he
did
said,
you hear that?
Then he said,
I heard it. He said, did you hear that?
Yeah.
All right. Like almost as she's talking. So, and it sounded really close, too. It sounded really close. Yeah. It was over her.
Wow.
You want to hear it one more time?
Yeah.
Wait a second. I didn't even know that was the EVP. That's insane. Yeah, I want to hear that again.
Yeah. And the thing, let me tell you, too, the thing about it is he does a couple of taps right before it. We didn't hear that at the time either. And
two.
When he's talking, he's smiling because he was a little prankster. And he had been listening to Sean say, get as close as you can to the red dot. Talk as loud as you can.
Wow.
Here you go.
And I said, yeah. And then he
Did
said
you that.
Then he said,
That's clear.
Wow.
That's clear.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that is really, that's one of the best EVPs I think I've ever heard, actually.
Me too. I mean, that's, there's no denying that one.
Yeah.
There's no denying that.
You know,
that's his voice. That's like, wow.
You had to feel incredible for that, though, because
yeah,
you'd waited so long and then you get the grand finale. Like, that's the grand finale in my book, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, wow. If I never get another one from him, it's okay because I have that one. And again, I tell you, I've got it saved on everything.
Yeah, I would. Right. I would, too, because you don't want to lose that.
Mm-mm. That's my baby. And if I just thought, I would have been digging into all my audio this whole time. Now in 2020, you know, everything stopped and investigations, everything just stopped. So what I did mostly was help people over the internet, teach them how to cleanse their homes and sage and do that kind of thing. So, and even in 2021, it wasn't quite back to normal with all the COVID stuff. So we didn't really get started back investigating until late in 2021, I guess. And we were just doing few and far between investigations.
What?
But yeah, he was learning and he learned
nailed it.
How to get close to, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's incredible, wow. Man. That's a, first of all, it's yeah. an amazing story. And even
thank you.
Better is the, I mean, the evidence and the proof, and the EVP is one of the best EVPs I've ever heard. Flat out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great.
It's so good. And I've had several people say, you know, people aren't going to believe that. And that's okay too. Because that was to me.
Right.
And that was my sign.
Sure.
And people said, oh, but you taped on your phone. You could have so much, you know, interference and you could have had another recording or blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I don't care what they think.
It's like, gave me goosebumps. You know what?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even care what, I wouldn't even care what people think. Like, that,
no.
That's your personal experience. Like, that's your thing. That was for you. So who really cares what anybody else thinks?
Speaking of the story that she was telling about is coming out in the next book.
Oh, really? So when is the
next? So you'll, yeah. So this next one, I actually had to split my signs book up. I had, after I put my fourth one out, I had some more people say, oh, I've got a sign. I've got a, okay, I'll have a second book out. And I was getting so many near-death experiences that I thought I need to pull that out. So I just released a couple of days ago, Death's Doorstep, and it's near-death experiences, angel rescues, and spirit warnings. And then in a couple of months, It's Not Goodbye 2 comes out, More Signs from Beyond. And that story that she's telling is going to be in it.
So actually, oh, I'm sorry, Ken.
No, go ahead.
I was just about to say, let's start back a little bit. When did you start writing? What was your first book? Like, when did you actually start, authoring stuff?
I started editing for my really good friend, Mark Elliott Fultz, and he's a psychic medium. He's the one that does all the covers for my books and the illustrations for them. And I edit for him in return. So we kind of balance out each other. But I was editing his books at first, and a mutual friend of ours, Till Gray, asked me if I wanted to put in 4 short stories, true short stories, in one of her books. And so she kind of gave me the little push to get started. And I wrote those and thought, I can write short stories. You know, maybe that's what I should stick with. And that's what I've stuck with, because a short story is a lot easier for me to write than a long book. I don't know if I could write a long one. But short stories are doable for me. And I just started writing about things that had happened to me, my friends, things that had happened to friends of friends. And then, you know, with that science book, I was having people from all over. So in 2018, Mark goes, when are you going to write your book? I don't know. He goes, you got a book. You need to bring it out. And so he kind of gave me that extra push over to bring it out. The third book was actually supposed to be my first one, and I just couldn't figure out how to do it. I wanted everybody to be able to experience the EVPs. And the ones I had caught at particular investigations that meant more to me than others, like this grumpy little old man at one of these houses. I knew somebody was standing next to me, but I couldn't see him. And I've only seen like four or five apparitions. I hadn't seen a lot. I can feel things around me, but not all the time see them. But this, I knew something was around me, and I said, okay, I'm taking pictures, follow me to the next room. And after about the third time I said that, the EVP I heard later was, I got a better idea than to follow you around all night. It was just this grumpy little old man. I loved him.
Yeah.
So I wanted people to be able to hear those. And I wrote that third book, wanting it to be my first one. They're Speaking, Are You Listening? And you can go on Elk Valley Paranormal to the evidence section. There's a drop-down menu. That's the their speaking tab. And you can listen to over 100 EVPs that are in that book.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
So there's that. And then let's see. Wait, Mark and I did a fiction book. That was the second one. Fourth one was The Signs. Fifth one was The Darker Things. Like, and I, the one about the mirrors and the wind chimes, and that's in the fifth book. So sixth book just came out this week, and the seventh one is coming out in 2 months.
Awesome.
Wow.
Cruising right along.
I've got about five more in my head that need to come out.
Wow. You know, the thing about short stories is they're more fun to read too for me. I just enjoy them more because I get stuck in this loop, this monotony loop right in the middle of the book, you know. Usually on big books. I love reading horror. I read 32 books last year. So I read. So, but right in the middle of every book, I'm like, oh, do I want to keep reading this book? You know, but short stories, books with short stories in it don't do that for me because it's like a fresh book every chapter, you know?
Yes. And same with writing it. You know, I can, okay, this one's done. Oh, I like that one. Let's go move on to the next one.
Yeah, it's like doing a podcast, right? Like, what are we going to do our next episode, Joe? Well, let's figure something out. This is going to be fun. You know, it's going to be the best episode ever. That's just how it is like that, you know?
Yeah.
So what is the craziest thing you've ever seen, the creepiest, scariest thing you've ever seen? I'm sure you get asked that question a lot.
The weirdest was here in this county. And the business is still operating, so I can't tell you exactly where it is or people would give them trouble. But a woman had gone in to sit down and had been terrorized. Something that was at this business would stomp around, would slam doors. It even showed itself on camera, climbing up into a desk chair, turning and looking at the camera. It knew where the freaking cameras were.
Wow.
It was that intelligent. And it would appear as a smoky something. It would appear as this like long shadowy stick thing that floated and just different things. So I went down there. My husband went with me. And it was somebody that was working there and I graduated together. So we all knew each other. And I told him, leave me where the woman was. You guys go somewhere else. And so I sat at this desk, and it was one of those big old, I don't know what kind of wood it was, but it was dark wood, and it was shiny. Didn't have a glass top on it, but it was shiny. You could see your reflection in it. And so I had a sun drop, and Joe, you probably don't know what a sun drop is. Do you, Ken?
No, I don't know.
Holy cow. Yeah, it's the southern version of Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've never had one. Gosh. We're all about cheer wine here in South Carolina.
Pretty good, though. Good. But sun drop, when I lived in Texas, Mom used to ship it to me. So anyway, I had my sun drop, popped it open. I was playing solitaire on my phone. It was on airplane mode. So I had the one that's not online, whatever. And I had a K2 sitting not too far from me. and what else did I have? My recorder was going. And that's really all I had. I'd been taking pictures, but I finally just sat down to try to get this thing to come out. If I had listened to any part of my recorder, I would have known that this thing was with me from the start of walking in the door. I turned the recorder on right as I walked in, and it was there the whole time, walked around with us as they were showing us around and talking the whole time. So anyway, I finally got, I was going, you know, anything, give me something. And I'd hear a couple of taps and I'd say, yeah, that could be the building settling. I can't buy that as a ghost. Sorry. And just being sarcastic, you know, just a little sarcastic, not provoking really, but kinda. And I don't like provoking, but it was,
right.
This thing was supposed to be a trickster. So, right. You know, just trying to pull something out of it. And I wasn't getting anything but a couple of taps and scratches. They had this weird clock on the wall that's one of the, you know, those bird clocks that has a different bird sound?
Like a cuckoo clock?
For all the different hours. Have you seen those?
No.
No.
I was thinking of a cuckoo clock. I was thinking of a cuckoo clock.
No, no. This is one of those, it's a clock and it's got a picture of birds all the way around and it has their little tweet, you know, there's
I've seen clocks similar to that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this one was a hunter's one. So it had like wildlife birds, you know, different, I don't know, weird sounding birds. And so I was sitting there and one of them went off and it was just this, what is, I looked at the clock and I thought, that's weird. I don't know what that was. I don't think that was anything paranormal, but, and then I happened to look down at the desk and something floated over me. And I looked up at it. Of course, it was gone. And I thought, and I said it out loud, I think I saw something, but I don't know. I don't know. So it was this black, cloudy thing. It was like a puffy cloud that a kid draws, but it was black. And it had eyes, two eyes in it, and it was just floating over me. And I've never seen anything like that before or since. The EVP I got after it was me. Because I said, I don't know what this is. It was me.
Wow.
It was odd.
That's insane.
When you go in and do that, do you offer some sort of, like if somebody wants to get rid of that entity or whatever, do you offer any services like that to like smudging or whatever? Because me, here's my solution. If I saw something like that float over my head, man, first of all, this is the advice I'm giving them. Hey, you guys need to move all your stuff out and here's a box of matches and some gasoline. Like, I'm done. That's how I would do it.
But the thing's going to go somewhere.
That's true. That's just true. Very true.
And he wasn't hurting anybody. He was just being a trickster. I mean, he was, you know, trying to draw attention to himself. He wanted to be seen, wanted to be heard, and wanted to be a little badass, you know? But he was just a little trickster. And he was just trying to show himself in the most scary form he could. But I've not seen anything like that since. It was just weird.
It is weird.
My friend said, it's been here. It's not bothering anybody. You know, we're not going to do anything to get rid of it. I just want you to come in and see if you can tell what it is. So it ain't human. I know that. It ain't human.
Usually, you know, they try to do this line, you know, where it's either ghost or it's an inhuman entity, good or evil thing. Do you think there's other entities out there that are neither good nor evil? They're just kind of there. I think there almost has to be, don't there?
I do. I mean, just think of all the different people that we got. We got good people, you know, really good, really, really, really good people, and really, really bad people. And then a bunch of us in the middle just kind of hanging out. So why shouldn't there be spirits like that too? Yep. And I mean, then you've got demonic and other. You've got, I mean, I've been wondering if all this cryptids, all the UAP, UFO, all that kind of stuff, all this is just energy. So is it all connected somehow? I don't know.
I think it is. And I think each one of those are experiences that are meant for certain people, like different at different times. Like I take them all as these, you know, like personal experiences. Like everybody says, oh, they never found Bigfoot. Well, maybe Bigfoot isn't supposed to be found. Maybe he's supposed to be experienced. You know, like that's how I feel about it. It's kind of a personal thing, kind of like your EVP with your nephew. That's your thing, man. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't matter what anybody else told you. That is him. And that's all that matters to you. And that's all it's supposed to matter to is you. So whether, you know, Joe doesn't believe you and I do, it doesn't. Joe's opinion doesn't matter. Joe, you meanie.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you. Some of them you're like, yeah, man. I don't. But no, that was incredible. That was an incredible EVP. And just like Ken had said, you know, the way I always say things is whenever somebody asks me to tell them my experiences, I always give them a disclaimer saying, listen, I'm from New York City. So you already know, I don't care what you think. Whether you believe me or not, it doesn't make a difference to me. I know what happened to me, and that's all there is to it. I'll tell you if it entertains you, great. If it, you know, whatever. But that's, I know what I experienced, and that's kind of like what I like to say to a lot of people too, is that, listen, if it's real to you, it's real to me. I'm not going to come and say, oh, well, what you experienced. No, that's definitely not what you experienced. Is there things that could be explained? Sure. But if that person wholeheartedly believes that that's what it was, and there's really no evidence suggesting that it's not, then that's what it was.
Yeah.
You know, why always have to have a negative, you know, outlook on things?
And
you
why
know?
And why take it away from them if that really right. was meaningful? Yeah.
You know, if right. you listen Absolutely. To them long enough, the people that are saying they don't believe in what you're saying and they don't believe in, if you let them talk just long enough, what you're going to find is they're going to say, well, I don't believe that. But, you know, this thing happened to me once. Right. You know, I don't believe it, but it happened to me. You know, okay, well, then what was it, dude? You know, but I'm not wrong about that. If you let them go on long enough, they will tell you stuff. And you're like,
absolutely,
okay, man. All right.
Absolutely.
It's just a crazy thing where they just can't get it. Like,
no.
I don't know if they're not open enough to it or what it is, but there's definitely something there. My 17-year-old son is that way. He doesn't believe in anything. He's like, it doesn't matter what we say. He's like, I don't believe in that, you know? I was like, all right, dude, but when something pops off, you know who you're going to come to first to find out what's going on. That's going to be me. So, and it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, people mm-hmm. make me laugh like that. I just laugh at him, you know, about it.
You know, you said something about Bigfoot maybe an experience, right? Yeah. So, you know, spirits show up in different ways. And who's to say that the same spirit, we might see it, the three of us. I might see it as a mist. Joe might see it as a full-on apparition. Ken might see it as something else, you know, an orb, a ball of light. But it's the same thing. And it's just like EVPs. We can have, the three of us can have a digital recorder right together, and it picks one of them to go into. You know?
It's like psychological pareidolia. pareidolia.
Yeah.
It is.
How do you explain it?
Well, because it's an experience, and that's all you can say. It's a spiritual experience, and it's perceived different by every person because,
right.
And you know, really, that's kind of what reality is altogether. It's just a perceived experience. So, you know, I don't know what else to say about that. It pretty much is.
And I feel like that's why there are paranormal investigation groups. You know, it's not that, like, you know, you're a paranormal investigation group going out there saying, well, I'm going to find answers and then I'm going to be the one to tell everybody that ghosts are real. Like, no, that's not why you go out there. You go out there for pretty much to help people also, but also for your own, you know, as well. It's not about, you know, trying to find answers. Like, it's, you already know some of the answers or you already have a certain perception of it. So why, you know, that's how I feel. I've never been in a paranormal group. I've always wanted to be, but I've never actually been in one. But that's just kind of how I've kind of perceived it, you know.
Unless you're Zach Baggins and you get possessed every single place you go. I'm telling you what, man, I want to fight that guy someday. I can't take him. I can't even take him, man.
I don't like him either. That's why me and you get along, man. That's why me and you get along.
I'm right there with both of you.
Oh, I can't take him, man. Like, I try and I try and I try. And every time I watch it, dude's trying to fight ghosts and stuff. And I'm like, all right, man, like, I want to die and become a ghost just so I could beat your ass is what I want to do, man. That drives me crazy.
So he came down to Lincoln County.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, investigated the old hospital here. And the owner goes, I said, let us come up there, Jamie. And he goes, I'm not going to let you go around that ass.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Jamie told them that they could come as long as, number one, they didn't put him on camera. Number two, they didn't video him at all. What did they do? As soon as they got there and set up, they put the camera on him and were asking him questions. Jamie looks like a freaking serial killer when they turn the camera on him. He's so pissed, so mad. And he got through it. But once they went inside, there's a door that goes out on the roof. And it was open for some air because in the summer, it's unbearable in there. So the wind caught it and made it slam, which, what is the one thing that Zach yells out every time? Did you hear that? Did you hear that? And Jamie goes, it's the door. And it did it again. And Jamie said, it's the door. And he goes, no, there's something upstairs. Come on, let's go. And they go running up. And Jamie, forgetting that he had a mic on, said, it's a door, you asshole.
That's awesome.
He wondered why the crew snickered. And then he walked away and realized, oh, fudge, I've got that microphone still on.
Oh, man, that hurt.
That's the best story ever. No, that's the best story ever.
The guy has got the tool bag. I mean, you could just watch that show and know, like, that, dude, just come on. You're trying too hard, bro. You're trying too
hard. Listen, I know Ken hasn't watched it yet, but if you haven't yet, Sin, you got to watch Grave Encounters. Have you ever seen that movie, Grave Encounters?
No, I haven't.
Okay, it's a found footage horror movie, and it's about a ghost hunting team that goes into a place, and, you know, hilarity ensues, and it's actually a really great movie. But the main character is totally making fun of Zach. I mean, it's down to everything, down to the 300 pair jeans that he wears, you know, $300 jeans. All that, like, it's just for that fact alone, you should watch that movie if you don't like this guy, because it's great. It's great, like, everything about that and how they make like, you know that that's who they're making fun of from the beginning. And you're like, wow, this is awesome. This is such a good movie just from that, you know. Let me ask you something about the EVPs too, though. With, you know, the fact that you're so much into the EVP aspect of it, is there anything that you've learned or that you've found that, you know, has made it a bit better? Or like, is there anything that you've, you know, come across where you're like, oh, wow, I didn't really realize that about EVPs, or, you know, any kind of interesting thing that, you know, maybe has helped you?
I found out, and I was wondering why I was getting extra syllables sometimes. Like, it was almost like the ghost was stuttering. And I'm thinking, something's not right. Something's not right there. And so I would take the clip and I turned it around and listened to it in reverse. And it was a whole different sentence.
Really?
Yes. Wow. So they can speak forward and backward at the same time.
Oh.
I mean, why couldn't they, right? They're on a different plane.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, their knowledge is all of ours put together and then some. And I think, too, some people say, well, how did you get a German word? You know, we didn't have any Germans around here. Oh, yeah, we did. But, too, I don't think it matters. I don't think language matters. I think if we go to a, I don't know, let's just say over to Madrid and nobody is speaking English and we get an English EVP, I think it's all frequency. We hear what we're supposed to hear. Ghosts, all right. Spirits can talk. They talk through frequency. So why can't they do any language whatsoever at the same time? Or,
yeah, you're picking it up through, you're receiving it through something that receives frequencies. So that makes perfect sense.
I mean, it's the same reason why we see, you know, everybody, people that are, I guess, non-believers or skeptics or whatever, always ask, well, how come ghosts have clothes on? It's because that's how they want to be perceived.
Yes.
You know, it's, they don't want you to see them naked. Just like when, you know, like, so they perceive themselves with clothes on, you know, so that's, they want to come across the way that they want to come across to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, it's the same thing with language as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Back to the frequency thing, I've always wondered, you know, the human ear can only hear what, 20 hertz by 20 hertz or something like that.
Right.
When we're out there, you know, doing EVPs and trying to get that, how much of that is getting picked up and getting missed because we can't hear it with our own human ears? I'd like somebody out there make a damn device that brings that forward into hearing range, you know, because that may be a whole new thing out there, you know?
There's got to be something too that helps us hear what we're missing, you know, that once we get our audio back home and we pull out EVPs, why didn't we hear those at that time?
Right.
Why couldn't we have heard any of that? So, yeah, there's got to be some contraptions that haven't been. Maybe somebody's trying to work on some of those right now. Hopefully, though.
Well, there were one in, it was an Italian guy back in the day that was working on it, or a radio. I can't think of what his name was. It's on the tip of my tongue. I'll find it for you. Carry on. I'll find it for you. I'll find it right now.
Well,
it'll drive me crazy.
I had interviewed a guy not too long ago named Tony Rathman that has come up with Staticom. It's a, you could check that out. It's called Staticom. And his EVPs are phenomenal. I mean, and the way you've heard, like, his EVPs, you hear spirits talking with other spirits.
Yeah.
Having conversations with other spirits. Like, there's one EVP that he shared with me where you know, one of them is communicating with Tony Rathman, and then you hear the spirit say to another spirit, "Hey, I'm trying to talk to him. He hears us. He hears us." You know, wow. I'm like, it's phenomenal. It's incredible. And so, yeah, I think he's definitely working on some amazing stuff.
I think
he's up to like the third generation of it. So if anything, his probably goes beyond those frequencies
mm-hmm.
that we definitely can hear. But Staticom, yeah, I mean, it's incredible. I don't think you could buy it just, you know, yet. Like, he's still kind of honing and, you know, figuring out things. But it's incredible, the stuff that he's come up with so far. So if you like EVP stuff, definitely go check Tony Rathman out, because it's excellent.
Absolutely. I'd heard his name mentioned probably about 4 or 5 months ago, and looked up what you're talking about. And that would be so incredible to have. Be so great.
All right, so I got it. And I'm probably going to butcher this name because Joe knows I'm so good with foreign things. Marcelo Bacci. It's B-A-C-C-I. He made a spirit radio back in the day. So he would stand in this booth and with this radio going on, and he could pick up spirit voices and they would come through the other end. So he was kind of the conduit. And whenever he would talk, people would ask him questions, or he would have people come in from like Germany and all over the place. And they would come in and he was like a medium, and he would try to pick it up, but he used radio frequency to do it. And then his radio would actually speak to these people in plain, like any, whatever language they spoke in, it would just come out of that radio, this radio that he had set up. It's a pretty incredible story. You have to check it out. It's really interesting, and it's really heavily documented too. So that's pretty neat.
And what was his name again?
Marcelo Bacci, B-A-C-C-I.
Marcelo.
Italian guy.
Yeah, Italian guy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yep. Yeah, so when you do your investigations, do you you do residential as well, obviously, then too, correct? Because I know a lot of places, a lot of paranormal groups are a little bit hesitant to do, you know, residential places due to, I guess, liability and lawsuits mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. But you're totally open to doing that, right? Like, if somebody needed help or whatever, or
they have to fill out a questionnaire first, because we found that most people want a show. They want Zach Bagans to show up and give them an entire show, and at the end of that hour, tell them exactly what it is. And, you know, we don't do that.
It's not reality.
No. And I tell people, even those shows are over 3 to 4 days at least, and they take the highlights from it and narrow it down, and they've got like a 40-minute show plus the commercials to build that hour. So that's highlights from the days that they filmed. We can't do that. We go in, we get you to ask, or we get them to answer questions on a questionnaire. And then, number one, if they won't answer the questionnaire, they don't need us, right? And if they do fill the questionnaire out, we go over it, contact them, ask them a few more questions. And if anything is shady at all, we don't go. It's just, you just can't now. You know, there's just too much going on.
Right.
So a lot of times people will continue to play around with an ovulus or an app in their phone, and you know, they've actually caused something to be stirred up and don't understand why things are happening now. Well, you've just opened a door, and you shouldn't have, because number one, you didn't have somebody there with you who knew what was going on, or you didn't ask somebody, is that a good idea? Or should I not do it, or whatever? But a lot of the times we found that I mean, they'll even tell you, well, we're not going to stop using this. Okay. Well, we can't help you then. We're not, if we come out there, it's not going to help.
Joe and I talk about intent a lot when people are using, like, I mean, not even, they don't even have to be using anything for intent. I mean, you just think things into existence if you really want to, you know, like, but when people are using these apps and these phone things and even a Ouija board, you know, it's the intent and everybody wants to see, you know, oh, something scary. And you don't know what you're going to get, man. It's a flip of the coin. So you got to be real careful with intent. And I don't think a lot of people realize that, but that is, it's huge. Even when you go into an investigation, right? You got to have a clear mind. You got to protect yourself and you got to go in there with the intent that, you know, with an intent that you don't want to necessarily stir anything up, but you just want to get the evidence because you don't want to get yourself in over your head, you know. But intent has a lot to do with the yes. spiritual world.
And you brought something up that is very important. That's safety. It's so important. And protecting yourself when you go into a situation. I had something happen that freaked me out completely. I thought I knew a little bit about EVPs, but when this happened, I was like, oh, I don't know what that was. And Mark, the guy that does my covers and everything, I told you he's a medium, he's a trance artist, he's a remote viewer. He's just my go-to. And he's also one of my dearest friends. But we did a residential and a friend of the woman that owned the house reached out to me and sent me a clip, a video, and said, please tell me what this says. Well, I couldn't. She didn't attach the audio to it. So I wrote her back. I emailed her back and said, I'm sorry. Nothing is paranormal in your video clip. And there was no audio, so I couldn't hear anything. So I'm sorry I couldn't help you. It wasn't 30 minutes, but she sent me back 5 audio clips. They were about 2 to 3 minutes each. And one was next to a radio, which, you know, drowned out everything. So you had to throw it out. One was in her kitchen. One was in the bathroom. One was in her parked car. Another one was somewhere else in her house. And she said, please tell me what you're hearing. So I didn't. Okay, I'll go through these. Oh, well, the first one I heard was, they're not going to believe you. Oh, wow. Okay. So listened a little bit more. And I mean, they were talking. There was very intelligent spirits were talking to this woman. And it was in each one, even the parked car. So I sent back, I took a couple of sentences out of each one, sent them back. And they were all pretty much the same. Nobody's going to believe you. We're going to keep coming at you. You can't get away from us, blah, blah, blah. And so I sent those back to her and she said, thank you so much. Thank you. No one has been believing me. My brother won't believe me and he wants to talk to you. He's a police officer. And I went, wait a minute. I'm like, oh shit, what have I done? I don't think I've done anything wrong. I don't think so. So anyway, I said, why does he want to talk to me? And she said, because I keep telling him I'm being followed, I'm being harassed, and he doesn't believe me. Oh, okay. And I'm like, well, but these are spirits. And she said, I know. She said, would you tell him for me? Okay. So I gave the number. He called me and he said, I can't believe you actually found something. I said, there was something in every clip she sent me. And he said, but she's been telling me for a while now that she's being stalked, that she sees these things watching her in hoods. They've got their hooded figures and they're all over the place, everywhere she goes. She'll be watching a movie and one of them stands up and walks by her and just stares at her. She'll look out her window from her apartment and see one on the roof on the next, you know, they're everywhere. And she's being stalked. And I said, he said, I don't believe in this kind of stuff. I'm Baptist. I said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You don't have to believe it, but you're sister is being harassed by some intelligent spirits and they're not after anything good. And she needs some help. If you don't get her some help, she's actually going to go crazy.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I'm glad I got to talk to you. What can you come down? It was too far to go. And I said, I can put you in touch with somebody that will help you. But, I can't come down myself. And he said, okay. I said, but her entire place needs to be cleansed. She needs to be cleansed, but she desperately needs to talk to somebody that understands this. And you're going to have to find a special psychiatrist that deals in this kind of thing. Spirit warfare, if for a better term.
Mm.
And he said, I can't believe this. I can't believe it. I said, again, you don't have to, but for her sake, get her some help. Okay.
Wow.
So I finished talking to him. And within that time, she sent me a couple more clips and I was done for the day. I was like, oh, girl, I can't with you right now. I've just talked to your brother. I can't deal with it. So I closed it. And my husband and I got into a spat that night. Stupid, you know, something stupid. And we made up and everything. So it was done. But it was one of those things that was, you know, just real quick and then over. Next night, I open my computer back up, open her email, pull those two files out. And the first one says something like, it doesn't matter who you tell, you're never getting rid of us. We're not going away, blah, blah, blah. So I wrote those down for. The second one was to me. And it said, Cindy, come down here. We'll help you out. We'll fix the problem that my husband and I were talking about. We'll fix that for you. And I closed the computer and I thought, what the hell just happened? Well, I don't even know how to,
Yeah.
What was that? And it freaked me out so bad. I had to go calm down. Just a little bit. And then I was calm enough to call Mark and I said, Mark, something happened that I don't understand and I need you to explain it to me because I don't know. So I told him what happened and he goes, calm down. It's a parlor trick. Some of those spirits that are tricksters like that or ones that try to be, you know, the low energy, the ones that try to intimidate. If you don't protect yourselves, they can come in and read your aura. They can read 48 hours of your energy. It doesn't matter that it came through the computer. They read your aura when they came through. And he said, you didn't do a prayer. You didn't sage. You didn't do any kind of protection. I said, no, I just opened my computer. And he goes, next time you need to protect yourself.
Wow.
I had no idea that could happen.
Yeah, it's scary. Joe and I each had our own incidents while like just
like that
a podcast, something like that. It's similar. I mean, where we'll be doing a podcast with somebody, like doing an interview, like my for instance, mine was doing an interview with a guy who was very much involved with spiritual warfare. He had bought a house up north from, he bought land from the bank. And it ended up being somebody's land that was an Amish family's land. It's been in their family for years, but the bank had had it because they went default on it. He didn't know this. Built a house on it, house burned down, like before it even got built. And all once the house was built, finally, he was having all kinds of ghostly activity and all kinds of weird, crazy, like really scary stuff happening. Come to find out that they put the Amish do something called powwowing. Have you ever heard of this?
I'm not sure.
It's like a Dutch folk magic, and it's real crazy. It's real esoteric stuff, but it kind of falls in line with the Bible, but it really doesn't, because some people become hexers.
Do they put something in the wall or something? Had they put something in the walls?
They do put stuff in the walls, but they didn't to his house. They just put a hex on him and his house and the property. And man, it was a crazy story. He's a real good friend of mine. His name is Patrick Meekin, and he's written two books about it. And the guy is really, really incredible. He does exorcists now and all kinds of stuff, exorcisms and all kinds of stuff now. But He, when I was editing his podcast with him, I was asking him about, I'm like, so when you first moved into this house, you know, how when did the activity first start? And he starts talking, and over top of him, now I can see him just like I can see you guys, over top of what he's saying, this voice comes on real loud and it goes, Jesus Christ. And I was like, I have a man cave out in my garage, and it's like 3 a.m. and I was already 4 beers deep. And then I hear this and it's pouring outside, and I hear this and I'm like, nah, man, like I'm not the bravest dude anyway. I'm putting this thing away. I'm going to bed now, you know? So the next morning, like I got up enough courage to listen to it again because I could not believe it. I really truly thought that, you know, it's this, the storm outside is something, you know? It was plain as day on there. So I just took a clip and I sent it to him and I'm like, check this out. Let me know what you think. And he immediately calls me on the phone. He's like, calm down. He goes, I'm going to tell you, this is not the first time this has happened. This has happened on every single interview that I've ever been on every single podcast. He's like, make sure that you say a little protection prayer and everything else, and, you know, around your house. And he said, everything should be fine. He goes, because you don't want to mess with it. That's them giving you a message telling you to back off, you know? And I'm like, great. Now, because my wife, you know, one of her biggest things is, you know, if you're doing this shit, you make sure that none of that stuff comes into my house, you know what I mean? Because she does have a valid point. When even just talking about this stuff can really rile some things up, you know? So again, you know, there's so much importance should be laid on protecting yourself before you even really talk about this kind of stuff, because you don't ever know what you're going to let in, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But Joe had a similar experience too, didn't you, like that?
I've had things where I'm talking to a demonologist while I was actually getting ready, getting my stuff together and stuff. And actually this demonologist was an original cast member of the original Ghost Hunters show with Grant and you know, the other guy, Grant and Jason. And he was on the first two. It was him and his brother. They're twins, and they're both demonologists and exorcists and stuff like that. And they were on the first two seasons. And I had gotten interviews with the both of them on separate occasions. But I was getting my stuff together here, you know, getting my microphone level ready and all this stuff before talking to him. And right next to me, I could show you right here. is that that's my door that goes out to my backyard. And I do everything pretty much around this time at night. You know, all my interviews are late at night because my kids are small and I don't want them to hear, you know, some of the stuff I talk about. And getting everything ready, and I hear knocking on my door that leads out to my backyard. And I'm just like, okay, I know what that is, and I'm not going to go over there and answer it, but just know that I'm just doing a podcast and I'm just for entertainment and, you know, not trying to piss anybody off or anything, but, you know, you know, I've had other things where, you know, things fall, you know, I've had, you know, different things falling while I'm editing, or, you know, a lot of stuff actually seems to happen whenever I'm trying to do something about demons, or even if I'm just looking up stuff about demons on my computer, you know, weird things start happening. And that's usually my cue to be like, you know what, I'm going to do this another time. You know, I'm not messing with that. So I usually just pack it up and just go upstairs and, you know, like, I'm like, I'll do this another day, you know?
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been kind of crazy, but, so what, if somebody needed to get in touch with you or anything like that, well, let's do that after this. What do you have coming up next? As far as, you know, I know you said you have another book coming out. Any kind of investigations? What's going on?
Let's see. I can't think of any investigations coming up right away, but I know my friend Eric is going to have another public hunt coming up, and I usually help him with those. It's at the Night House in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, and I think he wanted to have one in September. So he and his husband just bought that house last year, and they've been renovating it to its former glory. And it is haunted, and you can actually spend the night there and actually sleep on the, and you know, you go into some places and you don't want to sit on the couches and stuff. This place is made to like a home. So you can stay, you can sit, you can sit at the table and eat. You can lay down in the bed, go to sleep. So it's just really cool.
Hopkinsville is a crazy place. That is,
yes,
Hopkinsville Goblins. Edgar Casey's from Hopkinsville. All kinds of weird stuff there, man. It's a weird place.
And in August, August, and I can't remember, it's mid-August, is the 70th anniversary of the Goblin incident. So they're having something big in August, but also GoblinCon is in October, and I'll be speaking there. So I'll be talking about signs and talking about Wyatt, most likely, and, you know, other signs that people have brought in. In September, I'll be speaking in Indiana. I can't think of the town, but it's at Happy Haunts, I believe. It's part of the Creep Show 2025, put on by Middle Aged and Creeped Out podcast, the Mako guys. So they're a lot of fun. And Austin Lawrence, who is filmmaker of The Dead Chronicles, is speaking, and I'm speaking. So that's going to be fun. That's in September. Yeah, awesome. So those are the big things coming up.
Awesome.
Excellent. So if anybody needed to get in touch with you or find out more information about, you know, your group or your books or anything like that, how could they do so?
Elk Valley Paranormal and Sin Schrader Hill Author is on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, all the things. If you have a story that you would like for me to consider for one of my books, you can reach me, SinSchraderHillAuthor@gmail.com. Be sure to check out the website, ElkValleyParanormal.com. And remember that drop-down menu of the evidence section where you can actually listen to the EVPs that are in that third book. So all my books are on Amazon. All of them are in Kindle and paperback. There's a couple hardback and four of them are available on Audible. So that's new. Yeah.
Awesome. You know, you're big time when you get on Audible, man.
See? Just did it this week. I was so excited. I was like, oh, wow. I didn't know I could do that. Okay, let's do it.
You can even pick
your voice that you want. They've got all these different voices.
That's cool.
I was like, should I speak like this? Should I have one like this? Or I just went with a 40 and 50 year old woman.
Well, you know, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. You know, thank you so much. And yeah, I mean, that EVP, I'm going to be thinking about that EVP because that was incredible. Thank you for sharing that with us and all of your stories.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You're welcome.
You're a lot of fun. I like talking with you.
Both of you guys are fun.
That's why I'm like, man, we have to cut it. We have to cut it. Aww. It's an hour and a half, you know, like.
Aww.
We could be talking for 3 hours, 4 hours, probably.
Twist my arm. I've enjoyed both of you guys so much.
Yeah, we had a good time. Thank you for coming on the show. We really, really appreciate it. And we look forward to hopefully talking with you again.
So that's going to do it for us, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that interview. I'm sure you did because Sin Schrader Hill is awesome, awesome, awesome. Me and Ken are already talking about having her back on the show again and again and again and again. So if you like this show, please leave us a message at 845-600-0744. If you also have a paranormal experience you'd like to share too, please utilize that number. You could also email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. And thanks again to Sin Schrader Hill. And yeah, so that's going to do it for us, everybody. We'll see you next week. Later.
Listening to the Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, and thank you to all of my guests and contributors that helped make this show possible. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, please check out our show notes for all social media links of this show and some of our friends. The Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, uncovering the unseen.